Hello and welcome to the Australian Ag Podcast, brought to you by The Australian and The Weekly Times. I'm Jackson Hewitt. It's Wednesday, November 16. Coming up in this program, Grain Producers Australia's Andrew Wiedemann on how the floods are affecting the industry. While the southeast continues to make cropping a nightmare as fields are flooded or become bogged and water-affected crops spoil. To find out how it's affecting the grain industry and what farmers can do, even at this late stage, I'm joined by my co-host James Wagstaff from The Weekly Times, and we're talking to Andrew Wiedemann from Grain Producers Australia. Andrew, there will be very few cropping regions in Australia that haven't received their annual rainfall total already. 7 weeks of the year is still remaining. What areas have been hardest hit?
Yeah, so look, when you look here in Victoria, Serpentine, Midiamo, Bendigo, Echuca regions would definitely be the hardest hit at this stage. But then you've got pockets that stretch through the Mallee, southern Mallee areas around Hopetoun, south through to Warratnabil, Taranyuk, in that region as well. And then you go south of Horsham now, we're seeing a lot of that area also under high pressure. In the Nil to sort of Japarit area on the back of the Taranyuk area, that's also been quite affected, particularly more so from diseasing crops than anything. But where anywhere there's a river that's been running through or an estuary somewhere, that's certainly had an impact and flooded out onto cropping land. When you look nationally, obviously New South Wales, a bit of a disaster area really, through Mungardie all the way down through to Moree and across. There's just huge areas that hard to comprehend. One didn't get the crop in or got crop in late, now looking at whether they can even put a summer plant in for things like cotton and other areas around that where the double cropping opportunities exist. Then you go into Queensland. We've got people up there that are trying to manage getting harvest off and at the moment on ripe crops and then just battling again with the weather and getting these huge dumps of rainfall. We're not talking 20 mil rain events, we're talking 100 mil rain events or 120 mil rain events. That it's just hard to comprehend, I think, what farmers have been going through. And then I was talking to some farmers at Birchett the other day. My son runs some contract windrowing there, and they've had nearly 800 mils for the year. Now, that's unheard of in my farming career to see or hear of that kind of amount of water that's up there. In the local area here, I think our top rain gauge on the farms just hit 630 mils as of last night. So in a 450 mil growing season rainfall, we're not immune to everything that's been going on either.
Yeah, that's a lot of rain. Andrew, how long are we going to feel the ramifications for? As you said, some farmers have had their winter crops wiped out and they haven't even been able to get on their paddocks to plant the summer crops.
This year, obviously, is the most expensive crop that we've ever put in the ground. And for those that have had that wiped out, that's a huge economic impact on their business. There's no question of that. And in fact, in a lot of cases, years like this, we call them green droughts, where they're actually harder to get over than a normal drought because you don't spend the input costs. This year, with input costs like they are, that's having a big impact. But those areas which can't put in that second crop and really do rely on that, that's going to be a major catastrophe again, particularly for the supply chain and things like cotton and others where they do rely on rainfall. We're just hoping that they do see some dry patterns up that way and they can get it in. For us down here, of course, it's a different situation. We only get one grab at it, and we've already seen bean crops pretty much wiped out from here to the South Australian border with chocolate spot. We've seen lentil crops from here to Mildura in areas. I've seen up to 80 to 90% of some paddocks in the Mallee completely wiped out with rainfall and grey mould, which is a fungal disease that attacks the lentil crops because they basically suffocate from so much moisture and lack of getting dryness down into the canopy. The canopy gets that wet, gets mouldy on the top surface of the ground. People have been trying to make hay in amongst all of this. Clearly not a great idea this year. A lot of people have tried to make silage as well. Can't even do that. Talking to some southern guys this morning, they were hoping to make some silage where they are, but they can't even get machinery onto the ground to cut it. So, we're not immune. Nobody is immune to this weather pattern we're seeing at the moment, which is unheralded in some respects for some people.
And what will this do to prices?
Look, in the short term, I would think we'll see a strengthening in prices because there will be a lot of shipping demand that was booked early to execute business out of Australia from the East Coast. So that's certainly going to have an impact. There is a carryover stocks, though, sitting in the system to some degree, but how much of that will pick up the lag, it's hard to say. Obviously, we're seeing global prices strengthening on the back of what's been happening in the Ukraine and Russia again, which is unfortunate to see that having that impact. But then again, you know, where we are here now, it's going to be about executing business and actually getting grain onto the road. I mean, getting grain out of a paddock is going to be a serious issue for a lot of farmers. And then a lot of local roads have actually been destroyed by the rainfall. I know there's some people meeting with shires this morning up around Donald area, where there's been a lot of roads washed away there, talking about how they're going to reshape the roads so they can actually get some harvest. But again, graders won't be able to work when you've got table drains full of water and roads full of water for some weeks. So again, it's going to put pressure on the supply chain purely for execution risk, getting grain from out of the paddock, then onto the road or into storage, and then getting it onto a ship. You know, we've got more logistic issues than we've ever faced, as well as obviously getting headers to work in the paddocks on top of all of that. And then again, you know, a lot of labour that's probably new to farming as well this year. People have been sourcing labour from all parts of the globe, essentially. We've got a multicultural group working here. We've got a guy from France, one from Germany on the farm, and they've never seen anything like this. And again, training them to be able to manage equipment, large equipment, and not get bogged and not put, you know, the potential for the risk of damage to the equipment as well in line. So, and we're talking earlier about the fact that, you know, pulling equipment out of bog situations is going to be a huge issue. There's been already some field days trying to help farmers look at how they can pull machinery out. And there's a huge shortage on equipment such as snatch straps and underlying pieces of equipment that we can use under headers to make sure they're pulled out properly without causing any damage. But then if damage does occur, you know, where does the insurance liability risk lie as well? So, you know, there's quite a lot of things to unfold here. And again, nobody's immune from this weather pattern that we're seeing, and particularly insurance companies and, you know, liability risk on equipment.
So how does a flooding or wet weather event like this compare to a drought? So I remember, you know, a couple of years ago being up around Walgett in the thick of the New South Wales drought, and the farmers up there saying that they'd lost more money to floods than actual drought. How's it compare?
In a drought situation, you don't spend the money, so you don't have that higher level of risk. But when you get these kind of rain events, and as those people have described to you, floods certainly do just take it away. And being the most expensive crop we've grown with the input costs that we've all put out there, you know, bean crops where we've probably spent best part of $300-$400 a hectare on chemicals just to try and control disease, is really, you know, they're all gone. So it's and those people up north, you know, they could have spent in excess of $500 or $600 a hectare on their crops by the time you put urea and all their chemical costs into it. They're significant hits, there's no question about that. And you're also talking about a region that suffered 3 years of long drought, had one good season, and then into what we're calling a green drought, essentially, for a lot of the farmers, particularly in that sort of central northern New South Wales, southern Queensland area.
Andrew, you spoke about the most expensive crop ever grown, you know, inputs like fertiliser, diesel, you know, even labour. How are we looking for next season?
Yeah, so look, at the moment, we're starting to see some of the opportunity in fertiliser with some of the other countries coming back online with manufacturing. And I think China, it appears that there may be some gates opening there from what we're hearing. But again, we're still going to see farmers making commitments for input costs in January, February, when we're probably still going to be harvesting as well. So there's going to be a lot of decisions that will be made in that period because obviously shipping companies have got to get and execute business as well as to get the inputs in. We've seen chemicals go up. We've seen chemicals starting to soften a little bit. Obviously, the dollar strengthening on the input side will help, but on the output side, it's going to probably pull back that pricing as well. So It's going to be a really interesting fallout from here, and I really do wonder whether next year might even be more dramatic in terms of the returns, because we'll probably see falling commodity prices once things seem to stabilise overseas. And on top of that, we'll have, again, another expensive crop to plant.
So, Andrew, what's your advice to farmers at this stage?
I think gather as much information as you can. You know, it's important, you know, mediums like obviously the Weekly Times and other papers that are out there, you know, keeping farmers attuned to what's going on economically in other parts of the world is really important. And as farmers start to get out and about and get onto headers and machinery, you know, the connectivity between the radio and farmers is quite real. So listening to, you know, various things that are able to provide us information, key information around those input costs is going to be crucial. And you would hope that this war situation is going to appease and then the energy costs start to come down, because energy costs around gas, obviously a major component of manufacturing urea. We've got diesel costs that will be in the extremes this year. We've got heavy lodged crops, so we're going to be using a third more fuel probably in every paddock we harvest in an average year. So, you know, all our input costs are going to be at that extreme level. Again, all these things weigh on how you sort of shape yourself for next year. And I just hope we can get people through, psychologically through this period and into next year and in a good frame of mind, because, you know, we want to be in a good frame of mind when we start to sit down and plan for next year as well, as after going through what we're going through at the moment.
And what are you hearing from insurance companies?
If you look back, this is the first I've ever seen insurance companies cut off taking insurance on crops, and that was back around the end of July. That's never happened in my farming career. In terms of the machinery risks that we were talking about before with bog machinery and other things, and of course crop damage potentially from hail and then even fire, we've heard certainly hail events in WA, down Esperance Way over there. They've had some significant hail events through there. So we'll be talking to the insurance companies particularly about, you know, what they're hearing and seeing in terms of machinery damage and who's liable and who's not liable, if people are pulling contractors out of bogs and so forth, about where all that lies, if there is some machine damage, which to some degrees can be expected that that will happen, because accidents do happen. And people try to be as best as they can in terms of trying to remove bogged equipment from paddocks, but in some of the circumstances you see this machinery, and I think most people have probably seen plenty of YouTube videos of boom sprays being bogged already. If we start to move into headers, which, you know the $700,000-$800,000 mark of cost, it won't take much to potentially damage some of that, and you're up for some pretty extreme costs. The other thing that rolls into not just insurance, Jackson, is also around machinery availability, machinery parts. You know, hearing a lot of distressed people around the fact that that's even a hard task this year, in getting, you know, machinery parts for their machinery, and also new machinery not turning up on time. There's a significant amount of new machinery was bought on the back of last year's harvest, and it's not going to be delivered for this year's harvest.
On a more positive note, Andrew, there are harvesters starting to roll across parts of Australia, and some areas are on track to produce some good crops. At the moment, as it stands, where are the best crops in Australia?
WA, again, looked like, you know, another record year over there, which is exceptionally good for that region, although we've had seen some storms. South Australia, you know, on the peninsulas, it all looks pretty good at this stage. I mean, they are getting wet now with this last few rain events, which may impact on quality, but overall I think yields should be pretty solid. And looking even through Wimmera and Mallee, I think in generally on cereals, I think we'll see some exceptional yields if we can get machinery onto the ground when they can do so. And it's just going to be quality unknown. But I think in terms of a bulk crop, I think we're going to grow a lot of it. I still feel really confident it's going to be in that top probably 1 or 2 percentile of crops we've ever grown in terms of volume in Australia, in Australia's grain history. You know, quality, again, will probably be well down on last year, but that's just my general sense of fact that there's such a high yield potential out there, particularly I'm talking about cereals here, though, in wheat and barley. different story when you come to the pulses, because they just don't like it when it's wet, and we're going to see a significant downturn in the outlook for particularly lentil crops and bean crops through Wimmera and Mallee here in Victoria. Canola crops, a lot of crops won't be windrowed, purely because it's just too wet to get on the paddocks, can't get on there, and they're moving through that physiological phase of maturity, and people have to try and direct head them when if they can get a header into those paddocks. You know, a lot of windrowers getting bogged. As I said earlier, my son runs a contract business, and you know, they've been in so many bogs, I think they've lost count of getting in and out, and that causes a lot of stress, and that on the drivers as well, and yeah, they're all pretty much worn out. So it's probably this last 24 hours at least, they've all had a bit of a rest with this rain pattern that's come through.
And maybe another glimmer of positive news out there, but it looks like there might be a thawing in the relationship between China and Australia. What would that mean for the industry?
Look, they're our biggest trading partner. There's no question that the Australian grains industry and every other industry probably relies heavily on China and the economic value that that brings to us as Australians. So getting a deal done again between us and China will be enormous. Obviously, the barley situation that we've been through, that's been the biggest impact on our industry for the last 3 years since the announcement of the tariff. You know, we've seen that downturn in price for malt, but at the moment, because there's a shortage of malt just about globally because of the weather conditions, we're seeing an upsurge. But having China back in with an appetite to buy, you know, will be massive for the Australian grains industry again. I mean, they did buy last year a record amount of wool in Australia, which, you know, still means that we're doing business with them, but we're doing different business.
Well, let's hope for some more good news there at least. Andrew Wiedemann, thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure, Jackson. Thanks, James.
That was Andrew Wiedemann of Grain Producers Australia talking to me and James Wagstaff of the Weekly Times there.